Alright everyone, how you going? Welcome to the show, and today we've got Alan Ferguson. How you going, Alan?
Not too bad, mate. How's yourself?
Yeah, good, mate.
Yeah, it's a spirit.
Alan's a good friend of mine. He's got UFOterritory.com, the website. He's pretty well known by people in the field here, and especially in the Northern Territory. Do you want to tell us just a bit about yourself and how you got into topic of UFOs, ETs, all strange and wonderful stuff?
No, it all started when I was younger. It was a matter of I was in my mum's arms and everything else, and 3 years of age in Albury. Same thing. And it was a matter of, that was the first UFO actually encounter. I didn't remember much about it, but the old lady having her arms, there's only three, and everything was like UFO sitting above the house, and it was sitting there hovering for a while, and she's just looking up and thinking, I don't believe what I'm seeing, and everything else, and then the lights on the bottom started to spin very fast, and then it just went shot straight up. And she can hear neighbours screaming and everything else, so there was more people that witnessed it, and it was like, in the old days, so we're going back into the 60s, everyone used to mingle and all that stuff.
All neighbours talked and
Whereas after that happened, the street was dead quiet, no one come out for it, mum said, for months. Really, there's a lot of people that seen it. And then it was, then there was an American couple with the old brown camera that got some shots over the Hume Weir.
I've got an article of that lately, actually.
And it was, I think, Border Mail.
That's where I got it.
And it's like, it was there, but now when I looked up on the internet, it's like like everything.
Gone.
UFO, gone.
Yeah.
Everything else. So that was sort of the start. And then I seen, and it was about 9 years of age, and we're coming back from Melbourne, coming to Albury. It would have been about 20 minutes out of Albury. And I could see this red, white, and blue object. Because, you know, when you're young, kids sit on the back seat.
You're looking out
out the back window.
Yeah.
And that stuff. And I could see this object just following us. Like the roads go zigzags. This thing's just going in a straight line, sort of just. And I'm looking up and I'm saying, hey, mum, dad, there's an object in the sky behind us. And they're saying, it's only a plane, or it's a reflection of the dashboard. And it's not it. And I went on about this for 20 minutes, and in the end they just said, well, you just shut up, typical parents. You just shut up, and pull your head in, it's nothing. And I'm like, I remember it. You always remember your encounters. It's clearly in your mind, and that stuff, and life went on for ages, and I didn't really take much notice. I didn't really see too much like UFO action for a long time, but I always felt in myself I was like a loner, like an outcast. Sort of do my own thing. It's like you can amuse yourself.
You enjoy your own company.
You don't need crowds around you and friends. You know, plenty of friends, don't you worry. There's plenty, heaps of them. But it's give and take, It didn't matter if they were around me, they were or they weren't. It didn't matter in that. And it was just like, I was always like that for years and years and years. And I always felt like I was different to a lot of other friends. And all that stuff. And the problem was that I didn't really realise actually that I was a starseed. No one come into my life to awaken me, to tell me about, you know, really who I am. And then it was a matter of, I'll be going back, say, 10 years ago up in Acacia Hills. And all that, and also Humpty Doo. I know that sounds funny, Humpty Doo. Humpty Doo, but there is a place up there. And it was like, I was just sitting there. It was just after my father was getting really sick and all that. And I was like, I was just sitting there, and because I took up photography. And I used to take photos of storms and all that stuff. And I'm sitting there looking up, waiting for the storm to actually start building. And every night I see little black things scooting around the sky everywhere. And I thought, am I seeing things? I thought, I don't know. But the photos were revealing. All the footage and everything else was there. I said, hang on, if Al can see it and the camera's getting it, it's definitely there. And so from then on, it just started to build up. Some force from somewhere was starting to, to push more action in front of me. And I was thinking, why is this? And still I was none the wiser of why and how I was still, I just thought, this is cool, I'm getting UFOs, you know, it's like, I'm a hero now, this is, this is really cool. And I kept getting more and more, and then it was like, then I started to get this reputation as the UFO hunter from up north and all this, and it's like, it was exciting to get things that you just knew, you know, weren't from here, because it's a matter of you could see them there, and then, they just gone.
Well, that's the thing, when it starts happening, you want to get this out, you sort of want to tell the world and get it out, and Alan was in the paper, there was, even for a period, you're in the paper weekly, you know, they'll get your comments on the stuff, so like he's sort of really well known in the top end of Australia, and they'll do lots of stories, but a lot of the photos Alan's talking about, you can go to his website, ufoterritory.com, and some of them are pretty detailed, eh? You've got them on, you've got a good zoom, so you're getting right up there, triangles and weird discs.
Bowl shape,
that bluey one.
Yeah, with the window and a
front. So there's all this sort of stuff at Alan's website, so... Like, it calmed down, like, you went from Albury, was it, to Melbourne, and then you moved that location, that's what, about 50 k's or something south of Darwin, is it?
Started off Albury, Melbourne, then we, I think we went back to Albury for a while, then went back to Melbourne.
Yeah.
And then I was there for, 20 years.
Yeah, and you were a mechanic, eh?
Yeah, qualified motor mechanic.
And then did you all go to Acacia?
No. I just didn't like the big cities and everything else. It's just not me. Yeah. As I said, you know, you just feel not...
Hate it. We were just in Sydney because we were at the Paracon conference. We had to get the hell out of Sydney and get up into Maitland to the conference because it was dodgy, eh?
Too much. It's just...
You feel the energies.
Yeah, and they're all negative. Yeah. That's the problem. It's like, now I can't handle this joint. I've got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And it was like... we shifted to Humpty Doo. I did... myself, parents are still down in Melbourne.
That's right, yeah.
So I went myself, and I said at the start, it was strange because my first house, I used to think it was haunted because I used to hear noises and stuff and also things would be moved around.
Yeah.
And I started to see like little things wobbling around in the sky, and it's like, I'm really seeing UFOs.
Yeah.
You know, it sort of started from there. That was like the 10 year.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I always also, it's very important, I always had an interest in astronomy and looking up at the stars ever since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was drawn to look up, and my auntie and everything else, she always, for some reason, she's actually a UFO believer too.
Yeah.
And all that stuff, and she's seen one, and she kept pointing to Orion's belt all the time, you know, and it was like, that was something that's always been something that I always look at, and looking up all the time at the start, it was like you didn't see much at all, but then it's in that 10-year period, it all started to change and everything, and you're seeing like craft just like going across the sky, then they stop and everything else, all of a sudden you give a flash and then shoot off,
yeah.
Or I've seen like, you're sitting there and it's like the sky's sort of like, it's like when you turn a fluorescent light on, it flickers and all that stuff, and you see that in the sky and there's nothing there and you're looking up and all of a sudden I just seen it was like a, like a fluorescent tube sort of just appeared to shoot off, and then this big, ginormous round circle, you know, just appeared. It was like, and you could see it was like a white, it was like just opened up and this big white circle appeared. And you can see black, and it was like something shooting off into hyperspace, then it's closed up. And it's like, wow, I'm seeing wonderful things here. And it was just all that, a combination of that, and also then me photography. And that started really getting me thinking, hang on, there's something going on here, but still, I was none the wiser.
Yeah.
And the NTUs was picking this up because I thought, like we all do, I've got to get the truth out there. I've got to get it out there. It's the first thing, we all do it.
We learned the hard way, we'll talk about that later.
How many people out there have done the same thing?
Yeah.
They all do it, and it's like you do that and everything else, and then you start getting known on the internet and stuff and everything else, and then it was a matter of, what really changed my world completely was when I got in contact with this production company to fly down to Alice Springs and then meet up with Mary Rodwell. Space Mother.
And
it was like, this is cool, no problem, you know, to do a documentary, My Mum Talks Aliens.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And it was a matter of meeting Mary and talking to her for 2 days and everything else, and while I was talking to her, you could see her mind is ticking over, you know, like she's saying in her mind, you know, you're part of the big picture. It's not that you get, because also another important thing is you used to get the feeling to go outside.
To
take photos of UFOs. I'll be sitting on the couch watching the Idiot Box, and it's just a nauseating, driving, insane feeling. It's like, get up, Al. Get out there, get outside, and you walk out, and here it is, just sitting there wobbling around, and you just look at it, and there's like, as I said, I've seen ones that's like shaped like a hamburger, McDonald's hamburger, take the meat out of the center, and have red and white lights spinning around. And the lights were bright, so they show the metallic form of it reflected. And you just sit there, just absolutely mesmerized at it. And it's just like, sometimes they'd be there for half a minute, sometimes a couple of minutes. But it was always, as soon as in your mind you think, I'm going to go get my video camera here, as soon as you start thinking that, flink, they're gone.
Yeah.
It's like, they know. And it was like, is this really happening?
You know, that's what I sort of worked it out. It's like, I've got the camera as I walk out the door, so there's no screwing around. And even then, you're not going to capture it all.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
you've got no chance.
They're clever as. So then with Mary, it was a matter of, we done our shoots and everything else and all that, done the doco. And then it was a matter of, we all went our own ways, but we said we're going to keep in contact.
Yeah, and you're part of a buddy system, and I'm part of ASU now too.
Yeah. Buddy system for star seeds and stuff.
Experiences and all that.
Yeah, to help them.
Now, you've had a few experiences, up to you if you want to go into them or even hit any of them, but when, like, with that 10-year period going back now where all the sightings and shit build up, when did, like, weird stuff start to happen? Like, you'll talk about it, Humpty Doo, you thought the place was haunted, you know, because it was weird noise, but when did, like, other trippier stuff happen? Because you've had experiences with, you know, the reptilians and the greys, and you've seen kids on board, like, you've seen a gamut of things.
When did that
start, sort of stuff happen, like,
how many... Straight after I met Mary.
What did it?
Yeah.
So it was sort of like, it was perfect. It was like, you're awakening. Because people think they're awake. And then,
no, they're not.
And even me, I think I'm awake now. And it's like, no, I'll be looking back in years going, I might be compared to others, but you're still like, nah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nah, it was like, after Mary, whatever. Because all of a sudden, these abductions started and everything else. And it's a matter of, you wake up in the morning, you know, and your back would all be warm, tender, sore marks on your back, and all that stuff. And it's like, hang on a minute. And you'd have the doona cover on the ground and the pillows on the ground, and you're lying there, and it's like, God, did I have a hard night last night or something? You start looking and blaming everything else except for what's really happening.
Even your jaw, is your jaw get pulled open?
Yeah, it still does to this day, Ali. Well, a week ago, I was telling you.
Yeah.
A week ago, it's like you wake up and your bedside drawers, the doors, all them are all open and stuff. So it's always happening. Plus, in these days, I see like little orbs flickering around.
Yeah, we're seeing them all
up your head in the bedroom.
Even that story, I think you were saying about last night, how you'd be like getting taken and you hit your bloody elbow on the
Yeah. Because it's like, consciously they can take you, and also physically your body.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's consciously is better because, your spirit, just it's easier just to go through the walls and the ceiling. But yeah, when it's like your body, Joey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like one time it was like I could feel me if in, I'd say I've felt it'd be 6-7 times I've felt when I've been abducted that you feel yourself lifting off the bed.
Yeah.
You actually feel it. And it's like I felt myself going up, and it was like I had my eyes open. I could feel it because it was a little sickly feeling. And like I could feel myself getting lifted up, and I'm looking up because it's up in the tropics with ceiling fans. And it's going flat out and everything else. I'm looking at it, I'm going straight up towards it. I thought, oh, no. Hopefully they do their job properly, you know, because they break your body right down to small molecules, you know, vibrate very hard, so then you're not a solid, so you can go through walls and ceilings.
Yeah.
And I thought, I hope they've got this right. And I was right next to the fan, and I put my left elbow up to protect myself because I was that far away from it. And it was like, then your blanket, like always, once you start lifting up, that's it, your blanket out. You just don't remember from then on. what goes on. And it was like the next day, woke up, I could hardly move my elbow.
Yeah, it was only smashed up.
Yeah,
and then what, 2 weeks later, it was completely.
Yeah, I was stressing at him and whinging and moaning and bitching and saying, you know, mongrels, why have you done this to me? You know,
talking to him.
Yeah, you need to fix me up because you put me in this situation because I was working with my mate in the building trade, and it was like, you got to be lifting stuff up and down, and I'm walking around like a cripple.
Yeah,
you know, and it was a matter of took 2 weeks, and then one morning woke up. Fresh brand new, no problem at all. But up until that 2 weeks, I had problems. It had moved a little bit more, but it was still, I was still walking around like a second-hand old man.
Yeah.
And it was all right, you know. And as I said, it's always communication with them now.
Yeah.
You communicate, whether you talk to them, you ask. If you want, you ask. It's not a matter of just sit there and
You ask.
And
they can't. Like to say the awareness component, and being connected to above and the oneness, but like just your awareness, like you talk a lot about at work and things where, you know, there could be accidents or whatever, and you're picking up on it.
Yeah. Before,
like today, even when you threw the keys at me,
I
just boom. I was going straight for your head.
Yeah. And it's like the same as when I was in your car when we go to all, remember me wallet fell off the dashboard.
Yeah, you're
going and it just my hand just like bang.
Yeah.
Just like that, it just
The awareness.
Yeah, it's just that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And it's like you've had it all your life, but you just thought it's the norm. I used to wonder why I was good at cricket and everything else, and especially indoor cricket. Well, I got bowled a ball and they'd smash the ball straight back at me, and I'd just put the strap. It was like, how do you do that? It's like, I don't know, just happens.
Yeah.
It was just sort of the way it is, your awareness and all that.
Always there, but you're sort of programmed out of it with school or high school. And I think you're usually more in tune in preschool and primary school.
You
and
are.
You start to go out.
Because you start mixing with.
And you're trying to get accepted. Yeah, you're trying to, because you don't realise it within, you know, that is where you're accepted and should be, not without. But that's exactly. What's been funny with you talking about all that now. What's funny, like, we've talked about it before, and even you were saying how Mary was laughing about the same, and I think I talked to Mary about it too, like, there's some experiences of yours where you've seen beings on board, like, whether the greys or the reptilians, and, like, it's like as if your reaction to start off with was to punch them.
It was.
And that's what's funny, because, like, you're wondering why you can't remember, and we're like, you're getting knocked out, because...
Because Mary said, she said, they're scaredy. She said, some of these are little fellas, you know, and you're just going to king hit them and knock them, smack them through the wall. And it's like, because I was like...
But that's understandable, like, because even for me, my experience is different in the sense that, like, you know, the physicality, like, popping in your house and that, but I've seen what you've seen, and that's where, even today, I still have a harder time with the brown greys, unless it's that ET-looking dude that I told you about, or even the reptilians, it's not like a fear, but it's just totally different, I think vibration to them compared to the other beings. So I can understand, try to swing it and punch at him more in it, like, and I wouldn't, but I can understand your, it's like, what would you say, reaction?
Yeah, it's just, well, it's sort of like fear at the start, because you're getting taken against your will.
Mm.
And I whinged to Mary a lot, saying I feel like I'm a lab rat.
Yeah.
You know, getting taken away, and I come back, and I'm sick, and it's funny, like, you wake up, and it's like you've got fatigue, everything else, you know, your speech is slow, but it goes to about 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're right as well.
Right.
Yeah, you're just $1 million again, and away you go.
That's what you picked up on me, when they were taking me too. Because Alan's worked on my case, and he's validated a lot of the photographic and video evidence, he's done courses and all that, he's been I don't know where I'd be without Alan, because it's been, you know, long time support, eh? But that's something what we picked up, and you were saying, you know, you'll notice by about midday or a bit after, depending when it's happening and what time you get up, that all of a sudden it's like as if the curtain's pulled off you.
That's it,
and it's like everything's cool. Up to then, you just screw it up.
Yeah.
Like, you just, you don't want to, you can't do anything. Even if you go to work, we're saying, you won't get nothing done.
That's my worst nightmare.
Yeah, because you've had to work a majority of the years with this.
Yeah, and it's hard, because I learnt the hard way, because there was a time where I got taken, and it was a matter of, it's like it's in a dream-like state that you're in, But it's a matter of, with dreams, you forget about them next day when you wake up. There's nothing but these, all this recollection.
Detailed recollection.
Yeah, in your head. And I was sort of like, I was in this dream state, and then it was like, I was me and I had this girl, whatever that's with me. Lots of times there's always other people that are actually been taken and they're with you. And we were just sitting there, and there's like a porthole, but it had like lines on the window, porthole sort of thing. And it's like you're looking out, and then we're just looking at Earth.
Yeah,
we were just going, and just, it was amazing. It's just amazing, the feeling just to look at your home planet. Well, it's not really my home planet.
Just be looking down on Earth. Looking down on space.
And it's like, wow. And this went on, it seems, sometimes you can't get the hot, time is distorted in these abductions. It's like, it seems like 30 seconds, but it could have been 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It just, because there's always gaps. You don't remember from the time you get taken all the way to where you get dropped off.
Yeah.
You know, there's bits and pieces. And we were both watching this, as I said, it seemed like about 30 seconds. Then it stops. And then you go to another, another part. And then it was like, here we are, a pair of us again, hiding underneath a white sheet.
Oh, is this where you punched a reptilian? Yeah, keep going.
I don't know what it was, but actually, where's that stubby older Pete? Hang on a sec. Well, that's the... This is the perfect noise.
Yeah.
This is exactly what it sounded like. And it was a matter of, we were both hiding under this sheet, and she's got her head down on my lap and everything else. I'm thinking, oh, here we go. I'm in business here. But we were talking very, very lightly. You know, like we're hiding. And as I said, got this big white sheet on us and everything else, and we're talking lightly, and all of a sudden, this is what we hear.
Yeah.
Exactly that noise.
Yeah.
And I'm getting goosebumps.
Goosebumps,
here we go again. Yeah, and it was a matter of, when we both just stopped talking, so like, you know, like that, and all of a sudden, the sheet started to move.
Yeah.
And everything else, and it's like I'm thinking, well, I was still, this was early on in the induction stages.
Yeah.
So my first reaction is, I'm going to punch this thing. and I've jumped up and give the big left and everything else. And the only thing I can remember is just touching the sheet.
Yeah.
That, and all of a sudden, whack, straight in my guts.
Something's punched you.
It punched you right in the rib cage, and by God, it hurt. But 3 days later, if I coughed or sneezed, biggest
and
pain.
You had a mark there, like was there a slot bruise?
No,
it was tough.
No. I think it might have been a bit of a rash, a reddish rash.
Yeah.
That was all. There was no bruising, just a reddish rash.
But if you coughed or moved the wrong way,
that pain would be really bad. It was like you had broken ribs.
Yeah.
It was really bad, and it was like I woke up from then on that I'm playing with something's a lot more stronger and powerful than me, and regardless of how the fear of me come into me and I wanted to belt him, it's not going to work. Mm. And Mary was also continually cancelling me all the time, you know, saying, you know, you're doing it all wrong.
Mm.
You know,
you wanted to punch the little greys as well, and she's like, you know, you're not one of them, he's going to go bloody 10 metres and kill the little things.
And it was like...
But that's how you were dealing with it, because that was your reaction.
Yeah, of course. We all deal with it in different ways, but the first thing usually is, fear will come into you. It's not as if all of a sudden, you know, you get taken and then it's like, oh, how great's this? All right, I'm enlightened. Love and light.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And anyone that's going to tell me it does, it's like, I'm going to say, I don't know about you. You're dodgy. Because it just doesn't. It's not that way. And then from then on, it was a matter of, I accepted what was going on. Because she was saying, you know, you've got to change your ways. You're doing it all wrong. And I thought, oh, well, she knows more than what I do, you know. She's looked after a lot of people, you know, over the years and that. So I took Mary's advice and I mellowed out. And, you know, when you do get taken, there's no use fighting it. And also, there's a reason why they're taking you and everything. So you've got to change the psychology up here and all that stuff and go with the flow of what they do and everything else. So then once I started to, you know,
look at things like that,
picture, it just, I never got a hard time. I mean, mind you still do, because as I said, the ETs, like there's all different races, different agendas, different everything else. It's not just one grey that comes down. Or
that's what I was saying last night. I know that many greys that some people say more, and it's like each one is slightly different from elsewhere doing their own thing. Yeah,
because I mean, there'd be some that, you know, are limited in the way they move and what they do. They might be highly intelligent up here, but they might have a dysfunction in their body.
Mm.
And because we are, well, we're classed as valued, because we've been genetically engineered ET for a long, long time, we've got all the goodies. Mm. So for them, you know, because just say because we're very mobile humans and all that stuff, and some of them are a little bit, how you going?
Yeah.
So they take you, abduct you, or have sex with you, take your sperm.
Which we've both had them experiences, like you helped me out with that, because I realised what was going on. And like that, the weird thing is the same type of chicks, say, like pointy chins, big foreheads, and it's like as you can grab their arm and snap it.
Yeah.
Because they just look unco. But that's another thing that people don't realise too. And like there is that, there's many different components to it, and you've had those experiences like me.
Yeah, there's it's not straightforward.
No.
If the more you get into it, the more answers need to, more
questions you need
to answer, because it opens up, everything opens up. And it was just like this went on for ages and stuff. And you know, from then on, I took it all in and looked at it in a different way and everything. And it's a matter of, some abductions are good, you know, they've taken me up in the craft and they've showed me that actually that.
You've flown in once, like driven the crafts once, haven't you? No. One of those experiences? No.
I wish.
Yeah, no.
I wish.
I think you were saying something like that one night, or you're up there on the control panel or something, I can remember. I can't remember exactly what it was, but you were saying something. But that's where it gets trippy, man, is like they've taken you on there and shown you, even with the time thing, how they can show you time.
Oh, yeah, I was one time. It was like I was building some type of structure. And it had, like, the foundations were there, and it was like, yeah, no worries, we're at that stage. And then it was like, then I walked into this craft, it was white with a square-like door. I walked in there, and then as I was walking to, the centre of the craft, it was a big room-like sort of thing, it was all bright white, and there was, like, a matrix brown screen that was just hovering, had no legs on it, you know, about, I don't know, how high do you reckon that is, Pete?
Yeah.
3 foot.
Yeah, two and a half, 3 foot, something like that.
Just sitting there, and it's like I'm walking in, and there was an entity on the right hand side, but I can't.
Couldn't look at him, but you saw him. Exactly, right.
And I sort of walked towards this matrix screen that had all squares. It was brown, it had all squares on it with symbols and pictures.
Yeah.
And sort of like, you know, as you are a geek, whenever you look and see what's going on, because I was sort of also drawn to it. And I've looked down and looking around to it all, and all of a sudden there's a picture of me in front of the finished product. The structure's done.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've just walked from outside through the door, and there's only the foundation stuff there.
Yeah.
And here it is. It's all done. It's all finished.
Finished product. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how is this possible? And the entity's saying to me in my head, as I said all the times, no, they don't talk to you. That's all straight into your head. He said, you know, touch the picture.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh well, no, do what you told. You know, curiosity too. Touch the picture and everything else, and all of a sudden, it just bang, there I was, exactly the same as the picture, standing right there in front of the finished structure.
Yeah.
And that explained to me that they can they see into the future. And that's when I started to work out that the future's already happened. We live in the past. This is, we're back here. The future's already happened. It's way happened long ago.
Yeah.
And that proved to me that, you know, that they can see into the future. They can help you, as us as star seeds, to help us go through life. Once there's dramas or anything that's going to come into our harm and everything else, they can't stop what goes on around everywhere else, but they can manipulate us and our movements and stuff everything else. So then we bypass the dramas that are just going to happen, you know, like car accidents, you know. I can't find my car keys and I'm stressed and I'm running late for work and carrying on.
That's probably saving you.
Yeah, 2 minutes later.
Something going on, yeah.
2 minutes later, mate, I find the keys, no worries, quick, get going. Just down the road, 2 minutes it's beforehand, like car accident, serious car accident.
Like the last couple of days with Damo and everyone else, we've been getting setbacks
Yeah.
And we're like, these setbacks are meant to be happening.
Exactly.
And everything still happened.
Yeah.
It might have taken more time.
Yeah.
But we were saying,
yeah,
this shit, and even Dale was saying, others were saying, this is all, there's a reason all this is going
exactly
on.
Exactly right. Exactly.
So there's
right.
always that. We think in human 3D terms and want everything done now and we're getting impatient.
Mm.
But when you learn all this, you go, no, there's
a something there's going a reason on. Because as we know, and everyone out there, do not think that it's just a coincidence. There is no such thing as the word coincidence. That is just a rubbish word. That's a human word. Us evolved, starseeds, we know for a matter of fact that everything's meant to be. Everything's put in place. There's a reason why everything gets, you know?
Yeah, the way
it changes when you meet people and everything else. Oh, God, that's a coincidence. No, it's not a, it's not a coincidence. God damn you. It's like, it's because it's all set. It's meant to be because that's how they manipulate you as starseed. You know, to meet up like we met up. We've met a lot of people on Facebook, haven't we, over the time?
Yeah.
We're
actually hooked up.
Yeah, like, we've all come together.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, it's just how it is, and it's meant to be. And it's cool. Actually, I enjoy who I am. Now that I know, now that I'm fully awakened. Well, when I say fully awakened, to me, as I perceive at the moment, I'm a lot more advanced. Awaken.
Yeah.
I don't think you're fully awake 100% like you were saying before. You just don't because there's always other things that come that get put before you and you think you should know the answer because you think, oh, I'm awakened. I know. You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't. And that's how it puts you back. Every time you start getting a bit cocky and thinking, you know.
Yeah, you get put back in your place.
Yeah, and that's the way the ball rolls. And stuff, because I remember one time after I seen Mary and everything else, there was this lady that contacted me and she lived 100K south, Pine Creek it is.
Yeah.
I live in Acacia Hills, which is about 45K south of Darwin. Well, Pine Creek's about another 100K down the track. And she got in contact with me, I won't say her name because she always said, don't mention my name sort of thing. And she was telling me, you know, because this is before I even had any abductions or anything else that I thought. I knew things were, I'd wake up sick and second hand and, you know, and I wasn't right. And as I said, you know, doing her off me, everything else. But I didn't put my finger right on the pulse what was happening at the time. Excuse me. And so she got in contact with me, everything else, and she started telling me what was going on. You know, that she was getting abducted and everything else. You know, they dropped her off in the barn, you know, wee hours of the morning, you know, in the 90s.
Yeah.
In the 90s, back to front.
Yeah,
and everything else. Like, I've been abducted and then wake up, me boxer shorts, inside out, back to front, and all this stuff. And they was doing it to her. And I got to know her very well. And I was just, you know, trying to be support to her, you know, because it just changed from being a UFO hunter. Upstairs changes your thought pattern, you just change, and it was like, now I'm starting to get on to, you know, you've got to look after your own kind, star seeds, you know, but you still don't know that at the time. It's always an ongoing
learning. Yeah,
it's an ongoing process. And it was like she was getting taken everything else, and she said to me, she said, have you ever been abducted before? And I'm like, no, not that I know of. and it's like, and she just left it at that, and everyone thought, oh yeah. No worries. And then a couple of emails later, you know, I said, you know, why did you ask that? And she says, because I've seen you on a craft. And it's like, she says, I already knew who you were and
everything,
how you look. Yeah, even before I sent this email, and it's like.
And that's happened with a few people now, too.
It's trippy. And it's like, I'm thinking, yeah, well, I'm still trying to take it all in, you know, because it's pretty full on. And then one night, I'm lying in bed. No, I heard the sound because I had a pet galah named Pink Bits.
Yeah, you got Pink Bits.
Pink Bits. Pink Bits. And so the bird is in the cage, whatever, and that's, I'll bring it in at night, you know, so all the insects and everything down the
attack. That picks up on shit around the house, doesn't
it? It's cool, man. It's because when they roll up, it pulls feathers out. There's feathers all around the bottom of the cage everywhere. It stresses out the thing. Yeah, it knows what goes. They can see them. And it's a matter of, I sort of like, sounded like the bird was squawking. That's what I thought. And then all of a sudden there was this real high-pitched electric charge noise that went into my head. It was like, sound like that. And God, geez, it just absolutely, it was painful as.
Yeah.
And it was just killing me. And I've called out, for some reason, I am a human being. I've called this out. And it's like, I remember it clear as. And all of a sudden then it was just like, then I started to feel, it was like a vibrating feeling. And then that was it. And then I passed out and I knew, none the wiser. And then in the morning, when I woke up, all of a sudden a cold sore appeared on my left hand side, all around here, and I was crook as a mongrel dog. It was just, oh, it was full on. I thought, now that I remember all that last night and there's something going on. Little behold, later that day,
this chick,
she emails me and she said, I seen you on the craft last night. And I'm thinking, she's pretty well on the money. And this is what really hit me. She said, you said something about human beings. And,
And didn't you have drool coming out of your mouth on the side where that cold sort of was?
Yeah, I've got goosebumps now, all happening, it's all starting.
And she was describing that, and you were sort of like, you know.
She was right on, and I knew then, this is not rubbish.
Yeah.
This, oh God, you know, like vibrations and everything through my legs and that. Then it was like, this is the real deal. This is really happening, you know. That really put me to another level. Not only with Rodwell in my mind, telling me all the time, you know, what's going on, and you know, you've got to accept, because once you accept and, you know, believe in what's going on, then all the doors open and then it starts. But until that happens, you're still thinking, I don't believe this.
What can you say, though? I'll let you know if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Oh, God. Do they? What? Everything goes
on. So that's what happens. So when you start embracing accepting, then what actually happens is you take your power back.
Yeah.
And you work with them, and you can do it either way, but you know, you're still, you're here for your purpose or whatnot, but everything before that will go to shit.
It does.
Constantly.
Yeah, it's just like
roadblock after roadblock.
Yeah, punished. If you don't listen and do your job, what you're supposed to be doing, what happens is there's just dramas. It just doesn't stop, and you get so angry with yourself and the world and everything else. Why is this happening, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, it embroils you. And what happens is you're drawing in negative energy, you know? And it's like, that's not what we are and who we are. And it's like, that gets really, really intense. And it's just like, what have I done wrong?
Yeah.
But then you still don't know. It's not until you really start to embrace who you are and what you are as time goes by.
Until things start.
It doesn't just click straight away. Nah, it's a slow process. And then once you start to work that out and understand what's going on and start working with them, doors start opening, things start happening. You know, they look after you more because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that's, in my case now, is looking after star seeds, awakening them.
And it keeps going to the next level. Yeah. Like, we won't say who we were with last night, but like, for example, calling in the guides.
Yeah.
And you were seeing these black orbs, talking about the bangs, and they're feeling, I'm telling them, you know, can you feel the energy bands?
Yeah.
And I'm getting goosebumps from that, because that was good for me. It was because it's like you feel good being in service mode, helping others.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can see now, you've heard about what's going on with me, but last night you got to witness it. Because Alan's, how many thousand Ks do you reckon, three and a half thousand Ks you are from me? So we haven't been able to catch up in person for what, a year, nearly 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years, it'd be 2 years.
So it was good Alan got to see that, and that's where, you know, that was the next level for me, and that was sort of the next level for you because you got to witness
Absolutely.
But now you're seeing, you've been seeing it for ages, like the peripheral bangs
and the orbs,
even with us, you're starting to see them, hear more physical. Absolutely. Since we've all been together.
In the last 36 hours.
It's been off tap.
Yeah.
It ate Silvercraft last night. Yeah. You and Brad Thornton, Brad Thornton I've had on the show as well. But the night before that, I was having my own sightings with you guys. You weren't seeing it.
Yeah, in the car.
What, 20, 30 minutes missing time as well. And then last night, we had, you know, you and Brad saw that disc just go.
Yeah.
And it was complete cloud cover in the sky. So this thing would have had to have been decently low, because
it was right on the level
of the balcony. Yeah,
the cloud, where the cloud is, it was just like skim right across from the bottom of the cloud. It was like we were both looking, and we both sort of said, did you see that?
Yeah,
we both just said, you looked at each other, whatever, and it was just been one of them sort of freaky weekends. that we've, you know, that we've all got together. Because as you know, as soon as a couple of star seeds get together, it all happens.
But that was crazy. Yeah, it's just the energy. That point, we had you, me, Damien, Mariana from UFO Research New South Wales, Megan Hazelwood, Damo's missus, and then Brad and Susan Thornton.
Yeah.
And it was just like, that was...
a mix. It's just a big mix of UFO people. Well, whatever you describe,
whatever you describe it as,
but it was just like the energies were very, very good. There was just so much positive energy. The environment was right for things to happen, and it did. And it's just like these days, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
You see things all the time now, and nothing surprises
like
me.
Like it's daily, anymore. Really. Yeah. It's really daily, but like I couldn't even log it or write about it because it would be like a book, you know, 20 volumes that fat.
Yeah.
Like even now I'm logging everything, and you just can't. But it's what happens is it's like you're so in tune that you're tapping into nature. You tap it like you talk a lot about being in tune with animals.
Oh yeah.
Because where animals, you've got bloody.
All sorts of different,
bloody birds coming in,
because
he's out bush on
20 acres.
Yeah, out in the middle of nowhere. So you know, and that's been a big thing because it happened when you started talking to me about that. It was like, I talked to him.
There's a connection. As I said, they're all wild birds and everything else, and they all just fly out of the trees and come down. I just hand feed them and everything else, and it's just like it's the same as. Same as me plants, or me pot plants and stuff, me palms. I feel their energy. When they need it, feed, you know, you get some, what's that stuff?
You're talking about the nutrient stuff?
Yeah, little balls.
Yeah,
you grab that and you throw them all in and give it a good watering, and you see and you feel it.
Yeah.
And if I'm very busy at work and I'm neglected them and I haven't
brought
them up, it's when you walk past them, you just feel like they're sucking to you.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, sorry. And I know it sounds crazy, but
you're in tune with everything.
I'm in tune with nature. Mm. In tune, and that's who we are and how we are, and it's like, I wouldn't change it for the world because, as I said, I do my own thing. Go to work, you got to go to work. The thing is, in this environment down here, you know.
I don't know how you do it.
That you've got to.
I just don't know how, because I can't do that.
Yeah.
And I just get by, but I give it to you because I don't know how you do it.
That's hard.
It's so hard for me to function the way it is, and all I want to do is help people, but I cannot go into an environment with. You know, like a dictatorship, slavemanship, doing stuff I don't want to do, but a lot of yous do it, and I praise yous doing it, because it's got to be done, like, yous have got to do what you got to do. It's just like, as I've been saying to people, like, I know that as long as I keep up my end of the bargain, work my ass off in other ways, everything will be provided,
yeah.
I'll just get by. But
you know, it's the basics.
It's the basics to get by.
I was like that too, the basics. And I mean, like, but it got to the stage where the cost of living up there in the
is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just expensive. It's here in Sydney. What a rip-off joint this is.
Oh, mate. That's sort of, I was telling a friend up here that they could buy, you know, 4 or 5 houses where I live.
Yeah. For one here.
Yeah, and you can probably get the same amount where I'm going up near Mary's Way.
Yeah.
You know, it's a rip-off place, but this is the thing, like with work and that, you've got to do what you've got to do, but I just don't know, like, I was working for a bit, you know, when my experience was still, and I was just 12-hour shifts buggered, having experience, getting paid out at work, and see, with you, it hasn't been too bad lately, but the media, like, the NT did all right with Alan for a while.
NT News.
But then, yeah, the NT News, and then they started being...
Yeah, but it's different now because Matt Cunningham used to be the editor. He's gone, and now they've got this other
Sheila
that's come in. And I don't know where she's come from or who she is or thinks she is, but they've turned into more smart asses, you know, and everything. And it's like, it got to the stage where, as I was saying earlier on, you know, UFO hunter, come go out doing TV interviews, radio interviews, doing everything to try and get everything out there. But as time went by, everything just started, the ridicule and everything just started to smack me back in the face.
Yeah, and I'll say that to you beforehand, that because Alan hadn't come out about being an experiencer, and I said, because we've both been in the media for a while, and it was cool when it's UFOs, but as soon as you mentioned experiences or contact, and even with Sunrise, Which is Australia's national morning news show, sort of like the Today Show or the morning show in the USA. This is one of our ones.
Yeah.
They sort of did dodge job, but I was live, so I was able to sort of take care of myself. But they did a dodge job, and they wouldn't show the best stuff you've got.
They do it all the time. They don't show your best material. They show stuff that's, you know, it's like, it's good and it's got them, but it's not dead clear. I've got clear
pictures, clear and video.
Yeah, and it's like they go around that and they sort of make fools of you and everything else. That's the worst part about if they come to do an interview with you. The best thing's to say no, because it takes them 4 hours, they talk about a whole lot of stuff, everything else.
And they don't do a darn thing about it.
They cut it for 5 minutes, and they're there for 4 hours.
Like, I spoke to their people for ages as well, as you know. And then when I got there, Mel doesn't even know
what an
experiencer.
Yeah.
But like I say, the bet if I do it, it's live. Because then I've got a complete control that if they screw up, you know, I'm going to let them know, and that's unless they cut me off.
Yeah, there's nothing they can do about it, really.
Even with the NT News, like, it was upsetting because we're going through what we're going through, and then, like, you know, you've got Women's Day saying, I have sex with aliens, which was your headline in there, and that's a small component, and then you've got Starfish Enterprise written on the bloody NT News, and, like, I'll give them, that's a funny thing.
Oh, it's funny. It's funny for
just mucking around.
Yeah,
but Starfish Enterprise. But yeah.
They were taking my slang because I know a lot of people at the NT News.
But you didn't say that stuff.
I didn't say that in the interview with Megan. She was interviewing me, and I didn't say that.
And that's where Media Watch came in, and they jarred up. And Media Watch is an ABC program here, and what they do is they sort of monitor the media. So they try to get correlation, or if somebody screws up,
they're on it.
From what I understand, they're onto it, and they'll produce the facts, and they do this going back to stories years later. But that's what happened with you, is you said, that's not what I said. Next minute you're on Media Watch, and then they pay you out at the end of it, it's like the whole subject. So it's like you can't win either way. But like you say, there's stuff that we know that people just don't need to know.
Yeah, they don't need
to. We've done what we can in that aspect, and we've got burned for it. But that builds us.
Yeah, but we've done our bit. We've got the word out, you know, the thing that there is things happening all around. We've done our bit in that case. And it comes to the stage where not only do you get the gut feeling, that it's like you don't need to be doing this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's a matter of your mindset too changes, and it's like you don't need to be doing that. There's going to be other people that are come through, like Damien. You know, like.
And he's doing a good job, actually.
He's doing a good job. And he's doing all that, me and Pete sort of sneak behind the scenes.
We're doing
stuff behind the scenes that we need to be doing. That's why upstairs is happy with how we go about our business and what we do, and doors open, you know, like we've all met here now and everything, and it's a matter of because it's all, we're doing the right thing and it's all meant to be. All the other stuff, we've done our bit, and you can't go any further. You hit a brick wall, you know, and when you keep hitting brick walls, that means you're not meant to be going there. And you've got to go where it leads. And so then when you go the other way, then doors just open up for you, and it all changes. So then, you know, all right, I'm heading in the right direction, you know, and things don't muck up all the time.
But it's good you let most of the media know when they do contact you now. Like, you don't need to know. And it's right.
Yeah, none of your business.
It's none of their business.
They don't need to know.
The other day they called you just for a story.
Yeah.
They just called you up because they wanted a story, and it's like...
Because I sell newspapers, have told me years ago, they said, we love you, Al, because you sell newspapers, because the UFO thing.
That was the number one rated thing front page there.
Yeah, that's what they done in 2 years. They done a, what do you call it?
Like a poll type
thing. Yeah, like a poll thing. Yeah, and everyone thought it'd be crocodiles, because that's the most, you know, thing that people always refer to the NT News and the NT to. UFOs, whatever, mile ahead.
And lots of people are seeing stuff up there.
Oh, yeah, everyone sees it. I only got an email the other day from a lady that was, her and her husband were sitting out, and they live in Coolinga, which is about, probably 15 k's from me.
Yeah.
And they were saying about 2 in the morning, they were sitting there and then they seen this object, whatever, it was like lit up really brightly, whatever, then just shot across the sky, it stopped, then it blinked out, and all of a sudden, then it's just a little bit higher, blinks back on again, then it's like, then blinks down below, next thing I seen a similar thing. Remember I told you the other week, 4 power-ups,
yeah.
I was sitting there, because I was thinking about the abduction the night before, and it was in my mind, and I was looking up Orion, constellation, all of a sudden there's a power up and say, the boys are back again.
Yeah,
we tuned in and it's like shit. And she said, then you just shot off to the east. And she said, they couldn't believe it. So there's people.
Heaps going on up there. But the NT people happening. Take it better as well. Look, yeah, Queensland and NT.
Yeah, they do.
It's sort of like, you know, you're the wanker if you don't believe or, you know, whatever. I'm not saying you're telling people what to believe or not, but up there it's accepted.
80% of people up there believe in alien UFO life.
And that's a big deal. And that's why the NT in Queensland is just solely back to front compared to New South Victoria.
They're behind.
They're crazy,
I don't know what their theories are, but it's better up there. As I said, they're more, conducive to the whole reality of, what goes on. And then because I know a lot of people up there. It's a small town, really, and I probably know half of them. And they know me. I'm no Fruit Loop, fruitcake or anything else.
That's what people blow out with when they meet you.
I am the full 2 bob, not the full 2 bob, what I mean? I'm well and truly...
You're out. He's involved.
I'm involved.
That's his saying, involved. So when you hear me saying all the time, this is where I get brainwashed from.
You've got to be involved in the whole show.
But one side I want to talk about quickly, which is probably the coolest thing we've talked about, because this is where we started talking a long time ago, and it was sort of like, how can you tell people this shit? That sighting when you saw like a 5-speed Celica gearbox... Because he's a mechanic, it's like as if they projected into his mind something trippy that just doesn't make sense. Not that their crafts do most of the time, but you're outside and like over here you got a Toyota Celica. I don't know if he's got that in the States or in Europe.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
and he said because he's a mechanic, it's like they got something that he knows because he loves cars and knows what he's doing with them. But you had this bloody 5, and my stepmum had one. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. 5-speed Celica gearbox flying in the sky. We talk about trucks and shit like that. People see trucks and
I can't believe.
It's like, how can you tell people that? But
you can't.
You know what I mean? It's like I saw a 5-speed Celica gearbox flying in the sky.
They just say, right.
Yeah.
It's like, but that's how it looked. It looked, the build of it and everything else, and it's sort of like the casing and everything else got all little rib bits and everything else off it and all that extension housing at the back. It just looked, but actually, there wasn't a real big bell housing at the front. It was a lot more smaller, but that's the best way I could describe it as a 5-speed Celica gearbox. Going through the sky. And I mean, I've seen, it's ridiculous now. It's got to be in the thousands.
Yeah.
It used to be hundreds and hundreds, but I mean, like, and on any given day, you go outside and you see all the flashes in the sky and everything else, and you just see like white, just like a black line just appear there and here, and I mean, it's got the same, it's thousands of sightings now that I've seen.
You even had the black helicopters fly over.
They're always military helicopters.
And it's hard, it would be harder on you thinking about it too, because you're out bush. You know, it's not like me, like I get that activity, but I sort of feel a bit okay because I've got, you've been to me place, you know, there's, I'm in the burbs and there people have seen it too, but, you know, I would be sort of a bit more on edge because you're in the middle of nowhere.
You're
seeing these, you know what's going on.
You know, well, it's always harassment. You always know, as I said, you know, when we talk on the phone, you hear it clicking.
Well, it's either them or our guys come through on the phone.
Yeah, voices and stuff. You hear all these things, so, you know, we get monitored, you know, computers get hacked.
Yeah.
The whole thing, it never stops, you know, but it's something we've got to do. We won't give in. We won't just, you know, just stop because we're getting harassed or anything else.
We'll turkey slap them.
Oh yeah, turkey slapping the black ops. That's gross. Give them shit.
But you've got UFOterritory.com. You haven't updated for a while. Yeah, .au. UFOterritory.com.au. But there's a lot of good resources and stories there. Your main focus these days, but you're not updating the website like you used to, but you're more focused towards helping starseeds
and stuff.
And Alan actually wrote the foreword to my last book, Operation Starseed.
Yeah, good book too.
And so, and he's part of the ACM Buddy system, like we said before. So mainly these days, you're helping experiences deal with their stuff. And but the photos of what Alan has got is up at that website of some of the evidence you've got of cool crafts. And also, he's on YouTube. Got a couple of videos posted up there, which that's cool stuff because you see the flash like you were talking about before, and then like a disc pops in, and it's like the flash again. It's all like bang, portal opens, bang, craft comes in, bang, that closes.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of good stuff. He's really respected and loved by a lot of in the community here, and he's done a lot for me. But we'll end the show there, man.
Yeah, man. No,
but
cool.
Love you, bro, man. Thanks for coming on. Yeah. You've been It's been a light for me in my life, so...
That's what it is. It's, that's the reason. That's why we're all one. You know that. And it's a matter of we all help each other. And that's the way it is, because everyone has to function properly for the future process. Still don't know what that is yet. They haven't told me what goes on, and we probably don't need to know, because you only just get a download of data and channeling in your mind and stuff to what you have to do. You know, it doesn't really...
We just got
to
play our part. Yeah. That's all we've got
to
do.
And everyone's got to function properly for that to happen. That's why we all look after each other, and we're all one. And when we do that, because it's very important for the whole big picture. Plus, we're Orion.
Yeah. We're involved too.
That's it. We're involved in Orion. It's a beautiful thing, mate.
It is.
All right.
All right.
No worries, mate. Thanks for that.
Cheers, man. Right. And thanks for watching, guys. That's it. Keep posted.
That's it. No worries.
Cheers.